bless you.
God bless Blue Billy. God bless Blue Billy. Better than the three that he brings. Nobody got more.
Thank God for the invite to be able to come. Thank you. Appreciate singing of the songs. Amen. This each one, so glad each one that got to come tonight. We have enjoyed the meeting. The nights we were able to come, Monday night, Tuesday night. And we have just been thrilled to hear the Word of God. Good move of the Lord last night. That was a precious word the brother brought. And I enjoyed it, didn't you?
Amen. The
Word of God was good.
Yeah.
And we trust that he's going to feed us tonight. Yeah. Pray that he will.
Right.
Yeah, I was thinking about the selection of songs that was sung tonight. It's very appropriate. Brother Ike, you know how you wonder sometimes. You don't always know you got the word you think God would have you to have. Sometimes you wonder. All these preachers can relate to that. But then God confirms it by his songs. Isn't that a thrill?
Yeah.
And so the song leader is, you know, there's harmony there. That's the best of all.
Amen.
But we have enjoyed the meeting. Thank God for the church here. We was with them a little bit last year. Back early, a year and a half ago, I guess it was now. Preached here one Sunday. I believe Brother Gary was out and about. helping out a little bit. And so we met some of you that we really enjoyed your fellowship. Amen. Been a blessing. Well, let's get into the Word tonight. We'll just obey Him. That's all we know how
That's
to
right.
do. And
yeah.
trust Him to say something tonight that would help us and encourage us.
Yes.
You know, I really believe that many of the problems have already been addressed this week. Yeah. And the different preachers that have brought the Word God gave them. And I didn't get to hear Brother Donnie Sunday night. I had to get that off the website. And so I trust to get that off the website. Is that on the website, Brother?
Yeah, it's there.
And so we'll get that there. But I know from what we've heard, there's been many things addressed, but I believe God would have us look at something tonight that might would encourage us, and it may would speak to where we sometimes find ourselves.
Yes.
You know, there's a problem in the church age where people oftentimes, they feel like they have to put on a masquerade to be a part of the church and pretend to be something that they're really not. And that creates all kind of pressure in their life, and they feel like, well, I could never be like that, and so therefore I stay away. But when we get into the Word of God, we find that God pulls the cover off of so many of His chosen people. Is that right?
Amen.
His chosen elect, God still decides to share with us the things in His Word that otherwise we would never know. And we're going to look at some of those tonight and see what God will say to us. But Psalm 3 is where we're going to begin and take the basis of the text. But I trust we'll move around a little bit, if that's all right.
Amen.
Look at some various scriptures, because God has many things to say through His Word that will tie into what we're looking at. But Psalm 3, let's read the 8 verses here. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept, and awake, for the Lord sustained me. And I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Amen. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord.
Yes.
Thy blessings is upon thy people, Selah. Father, take the reading of the word tonight and speak it. God bless it, anoint it, and send it, Father, to the heart tonight that's needy. And God, we pray we may encourage some. Lord, we ask you, God, allow us to admonish and encourage. God, allow us to edify, not to tear down, but to build up. And God, may your people be fortified that we might fight the devil better. And God, be wiser to all of his ways. And God, may we be keen to the will of God tonight. We pray it and trust it. Now bless us each one in Jesus' name. We ask it. Amen and amen.
Amen.
What's the third psalm? As you read the heading of the psalm, it said, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Go backward to the 16th chapter. The 16th chapter of the book of 2 Samuel. And we're going to look at a couple of things here tonight. I believe God would have us see. Yes. You know, there's something about this that we need to take time to recognize. As we talk about where people fall, we see all of these many characters in the Bible. And we wonder, why did they fall where they fell? Why did it happen as it happened in this man's life, this woman's life, this person's life? And here in the third psalm, we're taking a look, and God is opening up a page in the innermost thoughts of a man named David as he fled from his own son. Yes. And you know what happens? In the church age, we say, well, if our life is right with God, things like that don't happen. But you know what we find? Is things like that do happen.
Yes.
Because here, David, the man after God's own heart, the man that God chose, the man that God set up as an icon for all other kings that would follow him.
Yes.
Now let's not forget that God said about David, and he compared Josiah, and he compared Hezekiah, and he compared Amaziah. All of these Jerusalem kings, not the kings of the 10 tribes. He never did that with those.
Yeah.
But he compared the kings of the Jerusalem Benjamite tribe, what we call Jerusalem, after the division of the kingdom, God took and compared these to David, and he said that he did walk as his father David walked and was perfect in all his ways, or he didn't. And so David was, he was the trendsetter for God.
Yes.
And God, he didn't say this about any other king. He never said it about Solomon in all of his glory, or Hezekiah, or any of these other men, though they were noble men.
Yes.
But he said it about David.
Right.
And we're going to find that there were things in David's life, and we're going to raise the question tonight, and this happens in the believer everywhere, not all the time. I didn't say it happened all the time, but sometime we in the believer's struggles and strife will find ourselves where David was, and we'll ask the question, how did we get here? Have you ever thought about that?
Yes.
Have you ever wondered? I was watching as we were going back into the office this evening. And so, you know, it's getting short days now, and it's getting over close to dark. I've seen cars turning around in the highway, and so you never know what that means. And then I saw a lady, couldn't tell how old she is, because, you know, her life probably hadn't been the best life. And so she had the look of a meth addict. And so it's full of sores and you know, her skin's drawn in and all of these things going wrong. And somebody's trying to talk her to get in the car, but you know, they done got her on the wrong side of the page, and she's gonna walk. And so wherever she's going, she's walking, and you could just sense there was some strife and trouble there.
Yeah.
You know, my son was telling me coming down here, he said, Daddy, you know, they go to church school there in Sampson. And so he said, Daddy, he said, we come out of the school today, and said, right across the road, there's two men fighting. And so I said, well, who won? He said, well, I think that little short fellow won. I said, there's trouble everywhere, Brother Larry. We can't get away from trouble. It's trouble everywhere.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I told him, I said, well, I read about two men that strove in the Word of God. And there's a man by the name of Moses come by, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he got involved. Now, maybe he didn't mean to get involved. You know what we say, preacher? Don't bring that up. We like to paint the picture that all of God's people's perfect and got it figured out, but they don't.
That's right.
They don't have it figured out, and they're not all. We are not all perfect, and we have the daily things here that we found Moses had. Now, you say Moses hadn't had a burning bush experience. That right? That's right. He hadn't. But he had a burning bush experience when he come down off the top of Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
And God was mad. Remember this? God was mad. And Moses said, God, what you so mad about? I wish, you know, we need to talk to the Lord like that, because that's what God wants.
Yeah.
He wants us to be His friend.
Yes. Right.
That's all He wants. What did He say? We were singing that song about under His wing. My wife was singing that song about under His wing. Uh-huh. And so you know what Jesus said? He said something about under the wing, didn't he?
Sure did.
He said, oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, how oft lost. Yeah. Though not once in a while. Often, right. How oft would I gather thee under my wing, as a hen doth gather her brood. But something happened. What happened? Thou wouldest not. He said you wouldn't come. Oh, I wanted you there. I wanted you right there under the place of safety. You said, preacher, I thought Christ come to all mankind. He did. But I'm going to tell you the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew. He said, go not but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You go there. You go there first. I'm going to tell you the gospel first came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But they would not hear it. And that's what Jesus is talking about when he said that. As he looked over that city. That beloved city, that same city where Christ will set his throne. Yes. Oh, they praised him with palms. They laid the palm leaves ahead of him. They sang glad hosannas. Yeah. Some fussed and mumbled about that. And we find it. We talked about it, I think. We talked about it a little while back in Luke 19, 39 and 40. Jesus said that some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Uh-huh. He said, I tell you, I can see him sitting on that donkey. I don't believe he had a saddle. I don't believe he had a bridle. I believe that little donkey was under complete submission to Jesus Christ. Right. He said, I tell you, that if these should hold their peace, the rocks would immediately cry out, and they wouldn't wait and tarry to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, it was time for praise. Yeah. There's going to be praise in Jerusalem that day, brother.
Yes, sir.
And that's a type. That's a picture. A shadow that there'll be plenty of praise when Christ sits on his throne.
Right.
There'll be praise there. And so here we find trouble everywhere. Trouble across the street. Trouble down the road. And so we see it. And so we said something about the little man Moses. Remember he said, God, what's this angry about? And he said, get thee down, Moses. And he said, what's wrong? What possibly could be wrong? I left Aaron at the helm. Remember this? And so we say, well, you know, Aaron had it all figured out. And we find out he didn't. And then we say, well, Miriam, his sister, you know, these women are a lot more set on these men are. And surely Miriam had it all figured out. But Miriam didn't have it all figured out either.
No,
Miriam got a rebellious streak in her heart. And she said, my God, Moses, who left you over this whole community of Jews? It came to me. And God said something about this. Said, Miriam, do you understand what leprosy is? And she said, bless God, I do. I see it now real clear. Oh. And so we find it. God's people have problems. Yeah. And we have to ask ourselves, how did we get here?
Yeah.
That's where the church is today, is it not?
Yes.
How did we not get here? Israel had to ask that question, how did we get here? Brother, we find it. I was thinking about those kings. Brother Ike mentioned Zedekiah and the 37th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. But also there were kings. There were those that God said, when those Chaldeans come, bless God, the 52nd chapter deals with this specifically, of the same book of Jeremiah. He said, when those Chaldeans get here, you be sure you go.
Yeah.
Don't think about it. Right. Don't tarry. Don't pray what the will of God is. Isn't that what we do? We say, well, I must pray about the will of God. God's already gave us his will.
Right.
He gave them his will in his word. He's gave us his will in his word.
Yeah.
He showed us his will. And so we know his will. And God said, when they come, you go. He said, don't pray, I will not hear you. God commanded Jeremiah 3 times, don't pray for this people.
Yeah.
Do not pray for them. I will not hear you.
Yeah.
How do we get there? David's psalm, in the 3rd psalm, is a psalm as he fled from his own boy.
Yeah.
That was birthed out of his own loins.
Mm-hmm.
Ate at his own table. Raised in his own house.
Yes.
They played ball in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
His son, not somebody else's. Brother, here he is. He's fled from the throne. We know the story of the 11th chapter, 2 Samuel, how that sin arose.
Yeah.
We know how that the 10th, 11th, and 12th chapter, David's repented. He's repented. I'm not worried about did he repent. He repented.
Yeah.
He said, preacher, maybe he didn't repent. If he'd have repented, all of these bad things wouldn't have happened. He repented. Listen, when Nathan said, thou art the man, he didn't say somebody did it. He said, I have sinned.
That's right.
See, that's the difference between David and so many. You know, it's not that David had it all figured out. I understand he's a man after God's own heart. I ain't running him down. I'm commending him.
Yeah. Sure.
But he had these issues in his life. We ain't even talking about 2 Samuel 24. We send a number to people.
Yeah.
We don't bring that up. You know, that's not a high-profile sin. That sin don't make the front page of the Eagle. That don't make the website. That don't make Facebook. Nobody wants to hear about other people. Inspired. They want to hear about adultery. That's why television's infested with it.
Yeah.
They like cold-blooded murder. It's infested with that.
That's right.
Says something about that. And so violence. What happened in Noah's day? Violence filled the land.
Right.
And so it's something that's the violent spirit. It's the adulterous spirit. And here David is. He said, Nathan said, "Blessed God, thou art the man." He said, "I have sinned."
Mm-hmm.
He understood. He repented. God forgave him. Before Nathan ever got off the porch, yeah. God said, "I have forgiven him."
Yes, he did.
I like that, brother.
Me too.
Hey, I need plenty of that.
Me too, brother.
But how did we get here?
Yeah.
That's what I want to talk about here for a little bit. Watch over the 15th chapter, the 16th chapter. And we're going to shorten it up and give it to you on a fast pace here. Absalom has rebelled against his father's throne.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what he done? He stole the hearts of Israel. Brother Absalom was a fine politician in his day.
Yeah.
Watch it. Read that in the 15th chapter. He was a mighty good politician. Oh, brother, he told them everything they wanted to hear. And he said, "Oh, but if there was just a judge like me in Jerusalem, I could fix a lot of problems."
Right.
He had a lot of promises, but I believe Absalom has some campaign signs out on the edge of town.
Yeah.
And so we see it, that Absalom, as he sold the bill of goods, he stole the hearts of the people. And here, David, listen, there is no debate about what David is going to do. I'm going to read this part of the text to you quickly. Real quick, watch now. The word said these things. Absalom, the 10th verse, reigned, the last part. He sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, chapter 15.
Mm-hmm.
"And as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then shall ye say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron."
Mm-hmm.
"And the word said," verse 13, "there come a messenger to David, saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all the servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly." There was a spirit of fear that came on David's father.
Yes.
Goliath couldn't strike that spirit of fear in him. The lion couldn't.
No.
The bear couldn't. None of those other armies could. But his own son, birthed out of his own loins. Why? Because of the condition of his own heart. I already clarified it. God forgave it.
Yes.
We're not talking about God's forgiveness. But how did he get here? It's much like Lot when we read in the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis. How did Lot get there? When the two men of God, the angels of God, if you will, when they came and knocked on Lot's door and said, "Up and get thee out. We've got to go." And we know that those perverted-minded men, for the sake of the children, we will be, we'll use Bible language. But I'm telling you, those that Paul talked about, men with men working that which is unseemly, women burning in their lust one toward another, going against nature. Hear those men as they came. They also had a knock on the door of Lot. And Lot said this, and there's got to be a time in Lot's life when he walked out on the back porch, and when all his family's asleep, said, "My God, how did I get here?"
Yeah.
He said, "I have two daughters. They've never known a man."
That's right.
"And I'll gladly give you them." How do you get there, Lot?
Have mercy.
You reckon that's why his sons-in-law had no ear to hear? Mm-hmm. The word said his sons-in-law said that he seemeth as one that mocked.
That's right.
He thought he's lighthearted. Good old Lot, he's one of us. You know, listen, he does the things we do. It's been touched on this week. If we look like the world, act like the world, smell like the world, you know what the world think, don't you?
Yeah.
We're one of theirs.
That's it.
Yeah.
But Lot wasn't one of theirs. But how did he get there? How did he find himself there? That's where David is tonight. Uh-huh. Watch this. He said, "Arise, flee, make speed to depart."
Mm-hmm.
And the word said, as we read the third Psalm, I want to flip back there and remind you of that text we read. This is the text the day that he fled from Absalom, his son.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me."
Uh-huh.
There are many. That's right. He saw it as many. The whole camp of Absalom is against him.
Yeah.
And not only so, we find it. You keep reading back in 2 Samuel. You'll find that Mephibosheth is against him. Mephibosheth, yeah. That person that David showed mercy back in the 9th chapter and brought him to his table and promised to feed him all of his days. Yeah. You know what happened? He said, I know what God's doing. God said, it's my time to shine.
That's it.
God's redeeming the house of my father Saul. I know what God's doing. But it wasn't what God was doing.
No,
he's teaching David a lesson. He's educating. And we find it. We find this as he here in the third Psalm said, my enemies are many, they're increased. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. Many there be which say it. They said there's no help for David. You know what the word on the street is? David's done. Much like we would talk about a football coach today. He's done. He's through. He's toast. That's what they're saying about David. They're saying David's done. David's no more. He said many of them say that. I've already heard their report. Watch now. There's no help for him in God. Selah means what? High praise.
Yeah.
Did you hear what David said? Oh, it's David's song.
Yes, it is.
David said, they said this, praise God, high praise. Follow this thought. It's what the word Selah means. It's high praise. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. And I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me. That's the voice of praise. He heard me out of his holy hill. Selah, high praise. Hey, discouragement's real, isn't it?
Yes,
right.
But you know the problem with discouragement is not discouragement in itself, but it's how we address it, what we do with it.
That's it.
David had discouragement.
Yes.
John the Baptist had some.
Oh, boy.
In the 7th chapter of the book of Luke, he said to his disciples, he said, go ask him, are you he that should come? Talking about Jesus. Now, brother, he was the forerunner. We know it. He was the forerunner. He was the broadcaster. He was the trumpet blower.
Yeah.
He was him that talked about he was that light. And he said, I'm not the light, but I've come to bear witness of the light. He's the light. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Yes.
Right.
He declared him. But I'm going to tell you something about his imprisonment. And his imprisonment was not for what he done wrong. His imprisonment was for what he done right.
That's right.
Because he looked at Herod. And he said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother Philip's wife.
Right.
And so we know what happened in Philip's life and Herod's life and John's life and put him in prison. Yeah. And so here, in his discouragement, he sent to Christ. And he said, are you he that should come? Or do we look for another? Or look we for another?
Uh-huh.
And Jesus said, you go tell John. I like it when Jesus said, go tell him. And he said, you go tell John.
Yes.
What happened? Right. That the dead are raised, the blind see, the deaf hear, all these things happen. And I like that 23rd verse of the 7th chapter. And he said, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. You tell John, don't be offended.
Right.
Brother, when they brought him in, and Herodias, we know she danced before Herod and pleased him with the daughter of Herodias. And she asked for one thing, the head of John the Baptist in the charger. And when they laid that holy head on the guillotine and took his last breath and last heartbeat as it pumped from that blessed neck that shed his blood, and they placed it on the charger, I tell you, John was glad that he was never offended in Christ.
Amen.
Yeah, we read the 6th chapter of the book of John, but they were offended.
Amen, brother. Sure
was.
Many were offended and went back and walked no more with him.
Yeah.
And Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, will you also go away? And Peter said, Lord, where shall we go?
That's it.
Where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life.
Yes.
Yes.
David understands that.
Yeah.
He knows his problems are self-inflicted. Let's get honest with God tonight, church.
Yeah.
Many of our problems are self-inflicted.
Oh, yeah.
David had no problem with somebody running him off his throne before his Bathsheba experience. Yeah. How did he get here? You still got your place over 2 Samuel. I want you to see something. I want you to see something. This ought to stop the blood pumping from every one of us because these words illuminate what we're talking about tonight. How did I get there? Yes. And so I would imagine that woman tonight that's walking down the road and her eyes was in shambles. You could see it on her face. Just in shambles. That Gadarene demoniac's life was in shambles, brother.
Yes,
I'm telling you, nobody wanted anything to do with him. He lived in the graves. He cut himself.
Yeah.
They talk about cutters today, brother. That Gadarene was the first of the cutters we read about.
Right.
Of course, we know those on Mount Carmel. Remember the Elijah, Mount Carmel, the 450 false prophets? Do you remember what they done? They cut themselves with stones. Those demon spirits began to pour out of them. And they cut themselves. That's what they done when their God wouldn't wake up and answer because he's one that cannot speak. I'm talking about their little G God. I'm not talking about the God of the Bible.
No.
And here we see it that the Gadarene demoniac's got problems. Problems, more problems than he knows what to do with. And how did he get there? And so watch this. I want you to see it back in the 14th chapter. I'll back up a little bit to the 11th chapter, the 14th verse. Watch this. We know that David had lots of plans and lots of ploys, lots of plots.
Mm-hmm.
And men are very good at devising those. Men have many inventions, do they not?
Right.
And David said, I'll bring him out of the army and I'll send him to his wife. But he wouldn't go there.
Yeah.
And he said, I know what I'll do. I'll send him the best bottle of the king's wine and the finest filet mignon that this Jerusalem city owns. And he'll go there, but he wouldn't go.
No.
And he's righteous. Uriah's too righteous. And he's too honorable. And he won't go. Watch now.
Yeah.
And the 13th, the 14th verse is what I want to read. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab.
Yeah.
Well, what's wrong with that, preacher?
Mm-hmm.
We write lots of letters.
Mm-hmm.
You don't write letters like David did,
do you? That's right, preacher.
Let's read his letter. God, let us read David's letter.
Mm.
He sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set you, Uriah, in the forefront of the hottest battle.
Yeah.
And retire ye from him.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, David, how did you get there? How did you get here? Uriah's not just some man. He's one of David's mighty men.
He sure is.
He's one of the 30.
Right.
He's one of the elite.
That's
he's
right.
more than special forces, sir.
Yeah.
He's Uriah.
That's right.
He said, put him in the hottest part of the battle and retire ye from him that ye may be smitten and die. How did you get there, David?
Mercy.
That's a long way from dancing.
Sure.
Before the ark.
Yes.
When God brought it into the city.
Mm-hmm.
And all you could do was praise him.
Yes.
But there's no voice of praise to be heard here, David. Did you hear what he said in the third Psalm?
Mm.
He said, my enemies are many, but Selah, I praise.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you, the secret to getting our power back is getting our praise back.
Yes.
That's what David found.
Right.
He's crying out, put him in the hottest part of the battle. I would imagine you, Brian, pardon me, when Joab read the letter, he probably wadded it up and thrown it in the field in anger and wrath.
Yeah.
There's a story behind the story here.
Yeah.
There's a reason that Joab took those three darts and the young man wouldn't do it. He heard what David said. He said, spare the life of Absalom. Joab said, you give me the darts.
Yeah.
He had forgot what he done to the righteous
sure
man, Uriah. God said it about Uriah. And you study this out and read this. Oftentimes, God does not speak. And this is not condescending to the precious life of Bathsheba. We know God's already honored her in the motherhood of Solomon.
Yeah.
We're not talking about it. We're talking about where this situation fell, brother.
Yeah.
He didn't say it same with the matter of Bathsheba. God said save. He was perfect in all his ways. Save in the matter. Except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite.
That's it.
God never forgot his name, did he?
Right.
He said Uriah's the problem.
Yes.
He's the big problem, David.
Mm-hmm.
David knew when Absalom come. And all they said, watch what fear will do, church. Listen. There's something about this we need to grab. The righteous are what? Bold as a lion.
Yeah.
The wicked fleeth when no man pursueth.
Right.
I didn't read where Absalom chased David. Did you?
Mm-hmm.
But the wicked wicked fleeth when no man pursueth. You know what happens? Fear overtakes our heart. We'll get paranoid. We'll begin to look around and see who's out to get us.
Yeah.
We'll look for the enemy where the enemy's not even on the way. The wicked fleeth, but the righteous are bold.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
That's a line.
Good.
How did Lot get there? How did David get there? See this. Look over. Why are you so close? Let's don't skip this part of the 16th chapter.
Yes.
We'll close it up as quick as we can. Watch this. The 16th chapter. There was a man by the name, and this really is a lot of comedy in the scripture. I pray to God you can see the comedy. I like to laugh, and I think there's a lot of things laughed about the Word of God.
Yeah.
And one of them is this little fellow by the name of Shimei.
Yeah.
Shimei was an Ernest E. Bass of his day. He was a rock chucking rascal. And it's David and his faith. David is walking out with sackcloth on his head. He's not the king living in his glory. He's the king in his sackcloth. And you can see him barefoot, what the Word of God said. And he's leaving that precious city of Jerusalem. And he's going over the brook Kidron. Mm-hmm. And as he goes, he comes by the place where a man named Shimei, he's a Benjamite. And they all got awed in their hearts. You know, they still got an old family awed because Saul's not king no more. And that was Mephibosheth's problem. It was a family awe. He said, God's doing this. And Shimei said, yeah, that's right. God's doing this. And he began to throw rocks at King David and curse him.
Yes.
He had a cussing spell.
Yeah.
Yeah, you better watch. He's going to give a cussing spell.
There it is.
That old anger began to flow out of their heart. And they'll show you just who they really serve. That's what Shimei was doing.
Yeah.
And he was cussing as long as from the time he saw him coming. You remember how it is walking down old dirt road, don't you? You see him coming and you see. Yeah. And from the time he saw him coming to the time he's still chucking rocks. And bless God, I like that precious man. Remember, there's one of the three, watch this, one of the three mighty men. What did he say? Then said, verse 9, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, under the king, one of David's three mighty men.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, he's a blessed brother. Great man of war. Mm-hmm. Why should the dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. All David had to say was go.
Yeah, that's it, see. Right.
He said, no, let him throw rocks and let him cuss. He said, maybe. See, you want to see the difference of why David got back? David had a heart for God, even in the midst of this matter. He heard Nathan's prophecy when he said, you've done it in secret, but God's going to do it before all Israel. He remembered that.
Yeah.
That wasn't just something that Nathan said that David thought was a pretty nice thought. David remembered that. When they said Absalom's overtaking the kingdom, bless God, David said, let's go, it's time to go. I know what God's doing. And when Shimei's cursing, watch now, there's something about this. Brother, there is a spirit of repentance and a spirit of revival that gets us back. And it comes through three avenues. The Word of God, brother said that.
Yeah.
It comes through prayer and it comes through praise. Mm-hmm. And David understood that. He's humble. He is the king. He did not run out of shoes.
No.
He did not run out of robes. Uh-huh. He didn't have to wear sackcloth and ashes. But he did. And he came out barefoot and he's walking before all those that would walk to the street. They had a little Christmas parade last night. You know what happened? People come to the edge of the streets. And all those that would come to the edge of the street, they could point and mock at David.
Yeah.
He said, that's A-okay with God. It's A-okay with me. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Watch what he said. God give us this heart tonight. You said, preacher, I got troubles nobody knows about. Bring them to God with a spirit
Amen.
Like this.
Yes.
He said, don't do it. Let him alone, verse 11. And let him curse. For the Lord hath bidden him.
Yes.
And it may be, oh God, give us this spirit.
Yes.
That the Lord will look on my affliction. What did he say in Psalm 3? He said, those that afflict me are many. There are many. And let God look on mine affliction, and maybe he'll do that. And that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day.
Yes.
Just David said, don't stop him.
No.
I'm getting what's owed to me.
That's right.
God's using this. You know, we need to see that sometimes. Because what does God want to use in your life?
Yes.
We can talk about those that have visible troubles and we see them on the street and we see them across from the school. But what about those that have trouble that nobody knows about but God, brother? It's a spirit of humility that says, I will praise Him if He'll wash me. I'll praise Him if He'll forgive me. Mm-hmm. Let them cuss. Let them throw rocks. Let them throw stones.
Yeah.
Let them do those things. If God will hear me, it will be for good.
Amen.
And the Word said that as they went away, He cursed as He went. See it in 13. Shemaiah didn't run out of rocks. Shimei, no, he cursed him as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. You know what I think? I think he run out of rocks and just went throwing sand in there. Well, that's the Bible, Ernest T. Bass, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you ought to note that. That's Ernest T.
Amen.
Watch it. Here, David's gleaning from this. But I'm going to tell you, God knows how to take our lemons and make lemonade.
Yes, He does.
We're back to Moses. When Moses said, God, what's wrong? And we said something about his burning bush experience. And God said, get you down. And Moses said, well, it can't be as bad as you say it is, God. And I'm just throwing it in for conversation. He probably said, it can't be as bad as you really think it is. And then he saw what was going on. And he said, my God! And he threw the stones down and broke them. And God politely wrote them again with his own finger.
He did.
And that was just another 40-day experience, wasn't it? I'm telling you that God, listen, we are not the first one of His youngins that have messed up.
No, sir.
I want to encourage you tonight. You said, preacher, I've messed up. Mm-hmm. I've hit a foul ball, preacher. You don't know. God knows.
Yes.
And God's been through this before.
Amen.
And God's not interested in us staying in our defeat. God's interested in us rising above those things that afflict us. And the psalmist said, how they're increased that trouble me, and many are the afflictions, and many are they, but Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me.
Hallelujah.
See, I personally believe, and that doesn't mean it's right, I personally believe that God gave David this psalm that night as they camped. I don't believe David slept well, do you? He probably wrote a lot of psalms. But it's the psalm as he fled. I didn't write that, I'm reading it. When he fled from Absalom, his son.
Uh-huh.
What did he say? He said, God has got to be praised. Mm. I laid me down and how could he sleep? Mm. These people that he's brought in and fed them at their table, they forsook him.
Mm-hmm.
Here, this little old, nobody thought much about the Benjamite curse of him. That's to be expected. But here, Mephibosheth, and all of these people that he's so close to, his own son.
Yes.
But yet, he said in verse 5, I laid me down and slept. It's what praise will do.
Yeah.
I await, for the Lord sustained me. And then what the psalmist said in 55:22 of the 55th Psalm, cast thy burdens upon the Lord and He will sustain thee.
Yes.
I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people.
Yes.
I won't be afraid. Lord, save me, pardon me, that those that have set themselves against me round about, arise, O Lord, and save me.
Yes.
You know, saved people ought to pray that prayer.
That's right. Yeah.
God, save me.
Yes.
From my own destruction.
That's it.
Yes,
save me. Amen. From the old storms I have created. Right. Save me from the things that are self-inflicted. I really believe we give the devil too much credit, brother.
Yeah, that's right.
We give him too much credit. We got three enemies in this life.
That's right.
It's the flesh, the devil, and the world.
That's right.
But I believe that the majority of the things that afflict us are self-inflicted.
Yes, yes.
We are our own worst enemy. Yes. And here Paul said it like this in Romans chapter 7. He said, O carnal man that I am.
Yeah.
Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God. What did he say? I thank God that through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, with the mind, I serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Paul knew where his problems lay.
He sure did. Yes, he did.
David said something about this. He said, it ain't Shimei.
No.
Shimei ain't the problem.
No.
You see that?
Yeah.
It would have been easy for him to point fingers and laid around that campfire and said, "Men, my God, I found the problem in Shimei. I found the problem in that." No, they're not the problem. David said, "Let them alone.
Yeah.
Let them throw rocks and curse."
Yeah.
I believe God's going to work this for good. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. David understood that before it was ever written. Before the Apostle Paul ever showed up on the scene, he said, "God's going to work this for good. You let Him alone."
Yes.
I believe there was some praise that came in David's heart. While the rocks were flying. Let Him alone. Watch it. Last couple of things we ought to hear here. See this. "Oh Lord, save me, oh my God, for Thou smitten all mine enemies." We read that. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Job figured that one out, didn't he? Jonah.
Yes, he did.
Jonah.
Yes, he did.
Jonah cried. And he said, "From the belly of hell I cried."
Right.
Seaweed compassion. He said, all of these things happened. "And from the belly of hell I cried." And what did he cry? "Salvation's of the Lord."
That's right.
Brother, now, brother, you want to talk about a part of the message we ain't done with. How did Jonah get there? You ain't had a fault like that? How did I get here? David did. No doubt Lot did. Jonah had to.
Sure.
How did I get here, brother? God said, well, listen, we can apply this to every believer's life. God says, get over there. And you say, "Lord, you know, it's my job."
Yeah.
Or it's my wife. That woman you gave me.
Yeah.
That was Adam's line.
Yeah.
That was Adam's favorite line. "Lord, it's that woman you gave me." And so what do we say? We blame them somebody. God says, go. And Jonah says, Nineveh, best God give me a ticket to Tarsus.
Yeah.
Tarsus got better beaches than Nineveh. There ain't no beach in Nineveh. Tarsus is where I'll go. How do you get there, Jonah? Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. See.
Yes.
Let's stand again.
Yes.
In our affliction, where do we turn? We turn to praise.
Right.
Preacher, I never thought the day God saved me. We were testifying the other night about this and talking about this a little bit. You know, people said, "Preacher, I don't invite folks to church because they won't come. They might come."
Right, that's right.
And they may not come for the right reason, but they may come. Yeah. I had somebody invite me. I didn't go if they really wanted to go. I kind of went where they'd be quiet.
That's it. Me too.
Some of y'all did that.
Me too.
I thought, well, let's probably show up a couple weeks, you'll be satisfied, and be here. But you know what happened? The Word of God came by.
Yes.
And convicting power came by.
Yeah.
And the Spirit of the Lord began to breathe His Word into an old hard heart. Maybe what happens to your friends.
Right.
You better invite them.
Yeah.
But you know what happens? We say God wouldn't do that. Preacher, from the time God saved me, I never believed there'd be a day that I spiritually would be here. And nobody may know it, not even your spouse, not even your closest friend.
Yes, yes.
But you know it tonight.
All right. That's right, preacher.
I'm going to turn this over now, dear brother. Yeah. I'm going to ask you this question before we go. What is it tonight that God wouldn't do for you if you didn't bring it to Him in a spirit of prayer and praise? David said, "Lord, I don't have all the answers. I fluffed the dub. I've made a mess. Yeah, that's my boy back there running me off my throne. And here, this little old Benjamite, back in the day, I'd have killed him with my bare hands. But God, I can't do that now because spiritually I'm in no position to be effective. But if you'll requite it for good." Woo! If you'll turn it for good, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
God, if you'll hear my humble cry and turn it for good. Let that be the prayer of our heart tonight.
Yes, sir.
There may be some of you there.
That's it, preacher.
Yes.
Brother Peter.
Yes, sir.
What you call it? Amen. Is it pianist, please?